Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Adonai Kitov, Adonai is good. Adonai is good. We have a great day today. Yom Shabbat. Adonai is good. We'll be having Mr. John Somerville today speaking towards the end. We always save the best for the last. He's going to be speaking tonight, and I want to encourage everyone to come out tonight. This Matot ve'Maseh, tribes and the journeys of. And these two parshas are the end of Bamidbar, the book, the scroll of Numbers. These parshas go from chapter 30, Numbers chapter 30, to the end of the book of Numbers. Adonai, in the name of Yeshua, we come before you. We thank you for your Son who came to earth to show your character and who you are and to walk in your ways, to show man and to rescue the Torah from the religious systems of man. Moshe spoke to the heads of the tribes of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the matter that Hashem has commanded. A man, if he will make a vow to Hashem or swear an oath to establish a prohibition upon himself, he shall not desecrate his word. According to whatever comes out of his mouth, he shall do." Adonai, thank you for your Torah, the instructions of which to live by. Thank you for Yeshua, your Son, who came to walk it out. Vayidaber Moshe el Rashi Hamatot Levnei Yisrael Lamor Zeh Hadabar Asher Ziva Adonai Ishki Yedor Neder La Adonai Uhi Shava Shavual Leesor Isar Al Nafsho Lo Yechel Dabaroch echal hiyatze mipiv yaase. In Yahshua's name, amen. What I just read was what I just read here too. The beginning of the scroll. As I've said before, the names of the parshas are mostly, almost all the time, in the opening lines of each parsha. This one starts off with Hamatot, the tribes. Numbers 30, 1 through 2. Thank you, Paul, for reading.
Then Moshe spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth."
He shall do all that proceeds out of his mouth. Now this is, I love God's word when we take the Torah and we go to the Brit Chadashah, the renewed covenant, and we see all the witnesses in there, how Yeshua even makes it more descriptive. For in the Torah we have these opening lines. It says basically, do what you say you're going to do. This is what he's basically saying. Do what you say you're going to do. After all, why did Yeshua say in John 7:16?
Yeshua answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me."
Yeshua is coming right out and saying who he is. He is saying that my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. Because Yeshua is the character of Elohim walking on earth. God sent his Son down to show man his character as well as how to handle the Torah. And it's talking in here about good speech, something that I wished I would have been raised up in, because I was taught to speak your mind in the Hellenistic system we were in. Where in Israel, a lot of them just keep their mouth shut, which is a good thing. Matthew 5:33 through 37.
Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Yerushalayim, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one.
That slices it pretty thin. That's quite a bit more harsher than what was said in the Torah. That last part, that hit me hard. Whatever is more than this is from the evil one. Matthew 12, 36 through 37.
But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
I read this the other day. We will give account of it in the day of judgment. And I thought to myself, I said, that's going to be one long day. Proverbs 18:21.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. This amazes me. You know, we're the only creature on the planet. Human beings are the only creature on the planet that have the ability to condemn themselves as they condemn someone else with slanderous speech. This is very sobering. We are at the top of the food chain, they say, or we are given intellect, able to reason. We're given all these gifts from Adonai. And in my life, I look back over and I'm ashamed at how I abused it. Abused these gifts. For speech is a gift that can't be taken back. And it's a gift that can be turned into something that's ugly. And I went over this and over this in my head. As I do my studies, it's all pointed at me, which is a good thing. Colossians 4:6.
Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one.
Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Now, this is a very, very powerful statement. Seasoned with salt, you go back to the ancient cultures. Salt was very valuable. You cannot live without it. And salt is a preservative. Let your speech be that which is preserved. Be that which has flavor. Mark 9:50.
Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another.
He's talking here about, but if the salt loses its flavor. This is, it goes to the old saying, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Loose talk commits. Commitments not kept, vows and oaths in common speech. James 5:12.
But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment.
I always remember, too, this book of James was not called James. It was renamed. It's called the book of Yaakov. Ecclesiastic 10:12.
The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up.
The lips of a fool shall swallow him up. One whose commitments are spoken so flippantly, they become swallowed up in overcommitments not able to keep. Those also who speak untrue negatively about someone to cause division. Romans 16:17.
Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them.
Jude 16:9-19.
These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit.
Loose talk Ephesians 4:29.
Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers.
Speak life. This is one of the reasons why every Shabbat, since we've started this ministry, we've had the children and people come to the front. Whoever, and I want to reiterate that, whoever would like to come up when the kids come up to be prayed over, come right on up, because we're all children of God. And this is one chance that we get as a group to pray over the people and everyone here. And it's very important that we do that. We're speaking life. Prayer is speaking life. In Numbers 33, we have the journeys, Masei. And I've read through this, and I was thinking, this is very interesting. He makes one point in Numbers. I don't know, do I have Numbers 33, 1 through 2 down? I'm sorry. I'll read it real quick. These are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moshe and Aaron. Now Moshe wrote down the starting points of their journeys. At the command of Adonai, these are their journeys according to their starting points. Notice he stresses, he commanded Moshe to list them by their starting points. And this is a clue to us to never forget our first love, Yeshua Messiah. We always, always have to go to our starting point. Remember back when you got saved, when you were blessed and called out, your starting point is very important to remember, because we go back to that. That was a great moment for me. It was a mind-blowing moment. A mind-altering moment. But he had him write down these points from their starting points. And then the book of Numbers 33, this chapter 33, ends with inheritance. Numbers 33 and 53 through 56.
You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger, you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller, you shall give a smaller inheritance. There everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, that they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them.
Very strong words here. Doesn't fit too well in our culture today. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it. And I got to thinking, man, can you imagine if they did that today? What would be ringing around the globe? We'd find out real quick who's running the globe. The land and the Torah are our inheritance. The land represents the boundaries of the Torah. The boundaries are the instructions that lead one to blessings when promoted and applied. And that's the truth. The Torah is not salvation, but it brings us the maximum benefit of our salvation. Numbers 34, 1 through 2.
Then the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, command the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, the land of Canaan to its boundaries.
I have two key words here, inheritance and boundaries. Our inheritance, the teaching and instruction of God, has boundaries. And Numbers 34, 10, we actually have him saying, you shall mark out your border. Numbers 34:10.
You shall mark out your eastern border from Hazar Anan to Shepham.
The borders of Israel are there to keep his people separate from the nations. Adonai has always instructed Israel to remain separate. Come out from among them, says 2 Corinthians. And when he's talking about coming out from among them, he's talking about it. This guy that's writing this was a rabbi, Shaul. And he was writing to people that knew the Torah. 2 Corinthians 6:17 through 18.
Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
The 2 Corinthians, it says, do not touch what is unclean, and I shall receive you. And that definition of unclean is in accordance with the Torah, not what some theology school comes up with, but what it says in the Torah. That, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. It is the only way one can be separate. Numbers 33, 2 Corinthians 6, 17 through 18 is referring to Numbers 33, 51 through 56.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give a smaller inheritance. There everyone's inheritance shall be wherever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, that they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them.
This right here is a very grave warning, and it's an area, it has and it contains in here one of the areas today that we can use. It says to destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. And for us today, that is to get rid of all the pagan holiday, pagan-based holidays we are observing and join into Leviticus 23, the ways of Elohim. He has divine appointments called Modim for us, for his chosen, for his people, who are willing to go into it. And don't feel bad if all of a sudden you're not there yet, because it took me 7 years. Well, my wife was there the whole time trying to convince me. That's how hard-headed I was. It's very important. Whenever it says in the Torah to get rid of the engraved stones, destroy all the molded images, and demolish all the high places, he is speaking life to us today. To get rid of all the pagan-based nonsense holidays that are not ordained of Adonai, that are not in the Torah. Leviticus 23 covers it. Revelations 18:4.
And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues.
The reasons for many sicknesses today. And then you listen to the testimonies of the people that live there and the things that go on and why they have those walls and fences up. And some of them look like electric fences where you go over and get shocked, but they don't shock you. They're sensors. You go over and touch that fence, and in 2 minutes, you're going to be surrounded. They have locating devices in them. They also have drones and balloons with cameras. They watch. There's cameras everywhere in Israel. They have to. Their safety, everyone's safety, the tourist's safety, very much depends on those walls. And until one goes there and sees it, it's kind of hard to decipher it. But when you see it, you really understand it. The creation of Elohim required separation and division according with him. Genesis 1, 3 through 5.
Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day.
Ha'or and Ha'oshek. Light, order, because he's a God of order, and Hoshek is darkness and confusion. And then on in Genesis, he keeps dividing. He divides the waters in 6 through 8, and then he divides the lights again in the firmament. Divide from the day from the night. Leviticus 20:24.
But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the peoples.
He separates us from the people. Praise Adonai. I am Ani Eloheka, who has separated you from among the peoples. Exodus 33:16.
For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth.
God sets forth the boundaries of the land for the Israelite people. We might wonder, why boundaries? He's God. Why not give Israelite people all the land? What is the purpose of a boundary? It's a dividing line. It divides one space from another and creates self-control. Do not remove the ancient landmarks, it says, nor enter the fields of the fatherless. For the Redeemer is mighty. He will plead their cause against you. Connecting these two journeys in our lives and boundaries, we can come to the realization that the boundary in our life that is there to guide us on our journey is the Torah. There is also a boundary around us, and it's the Torah, and the Torah. An example is that God gave his people a command to put a boundary among Har Sinai. In Exodus 19:12, you shall set boundaries for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves, that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. There is a journey, and there are boundaries around God. Yeshua said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, the character of Elohim, his Son. Exodus 33:20, he said, but you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. There is a journey and there are boundaries for our behavior. 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be kadosh, be set apart, for I am kadosh, set apart. Quoting Leviticus 20:26, and you shall be holy to me, kadosh, set apart to him, for I am the Lord, I am set apart, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. There is a journey and boundaries for our instruction. Proverbs 3:1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my command in your heart. Psalms 94:12, blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man you teach from your Torah. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. They're talking about the Torah and the Tanakh. They're talking about what was at hand at the time. There is a journey and there are boundaries for our yearly cycle. As I've explained before, the Modim were designed and spaced strategically in the yearly cycle according to the moon. And he did that so that we can, each year, we go through that cycle of studying, learning, and applying, and testing, being put through tests. We come to Yom Kippur at the end of the cycle, and we renounce our past mistakes of that year. We confess them, and we step up one more step higher. We make Aliyah one more closer to the kingdom. And we're given so many years to exercise this path each year. And if we correctly apply his words in all our mistakes, despite ourselves, through repentance, teshuvah wholeheartedly, we make aliyah each year. We get closer and closer. So when the time comes for us to pass over and cross over, we will be as ready as we could possibly get. Because there's no turning back. And he is completely in charge of everything. Adonai is so in charge, he scares me sometimes when I think about how in charge he is. He tells me all the time, your ways are not my ways, old man. And so I stop at that time and consider. I'm learning to consider more and more as I get older. Adonai Kitov, he is good. Praise Abba for all he has done in our lives.